and sing. If one of you tall men would cut this fan off for me while I preach, we'll leave them on, but I want this one off above me. John, if you can do that right quick. Thank God for these young people, amen. We'll get you a box to stand on. Good. That's good right there. That's better. Thank you. Yes. Well, stand with us around the house. Turn your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 13. It's great to see you here this morning. If you've enjoyed the service thus far, say amen. I want you to look around this morning. It's a joy to see this tabernacle field today. I've got a few things that the Lord has showed me out of this text that I must deliver this morning. I certainly want to be mindful of the Word of God, what He would have for us to say this morning. Would you pray now for me that God would give me the things that I need to say? And I wouldn't say anything that He wouldn't want me to say. Father, we bless You. We love You today. Thank You for the Spirit of God. Thank You for the soberness of the meeting. God, I realize when there's soberness, people are pondering. They're thinking. They're wanting to make decisions. And I want to thank You for sending Brother Stacy this way this morning. I thank You, Lord, a few weeks ago, one of the lowest Sunday mornings of my ministry, that God, You let him give me a text that encouraged my heart. And God, I want to thank You for the other Sunday morning, one of the highlights of the ministry You've given me. But God, this morning has come time for me to deliver what the Holy Ghost has put in my heart. Would You help me to be right to Your Word? And God, would You move in hearts this morning? And do that only what You, the Lord, can do by Your Word. Help us now. If there be one here lost, I pray You'd draw them and save them this morning. I thank You for these that have professed Christ as their Savior, and tonight they'll be baptized. Thank You, God, for these that have come by faith and have accepted what You've done for us through Your Son on the cross of Calvary. Help us now, and we'll be grateful in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Look with me in Luke 13. Luke 13. I want to read in verse number 10. If you're there in your Bible this morning, say amen. Amen. Let me know you're there. Luke 10. Luke 13, verse 10. And watch this. He was teaching in one of the synagogues. And look when he was doing it. On the Sabbath. Here is a word that's inserted, and behold there, in this specific place where the Lord was, there was a woman. She had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise, watch this, lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he saith unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered, and He said, thou hypocrite. I'd love to have been there that morning. I mean, I would have loved to have seen the Lord put this daddy rabbit in his place. Thou hypocrite. Doth not each one of you, and I've got a thought about this verse, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom what Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? When he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. You may be seated this morning. I'm interested in this text, verse 16. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And I want to preach on this subject this morning, on simply undoing what the devil has done. Undoing what the devil has done. Now, I believe this was a saved woman. She was not filled with the devil. But the devil had inflicted her with a great infirmity. Jesus expresses this expression. He called her the daughter of Abraham. Who is Abraham? He's the father of our faith. So she was a daughter of faith, a Jewish girl. I do not believe that this woman was possessed with the devil. But I do believe that this devil had put something upon this woman that bent her low. Can I tell you today that the devil's job is to steal, kill, and destroy? And there is no respecters of person with the devil. The devil loves to bend us low. We're all here today for the cause of Christ. We're not here for a pretty building this morning. But we gather together on the first day of the week. As the early disciples gathered in that upper room upon the first day, they gathered to show us that now, on the first day of the week, we too are to gather together on the Lord's day and worship our God. This morning, by way of text, I want to give you a few fresh things the Lord has showed me. First of all, notice there was a productive class. A productive class in verse 10. The Bible said, and he was teaching. Who? Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. There was a productive class. You know, Jesus loves to teach people. Throughout all the synagogues, some writers said that there was hundreds of synagogues, but Jesus chose this particular meeting that day to walk in and to teach people. Aren't you glad when we gather together that Jesus teaches us things? You know, Jesus teaches us things at home, at work, at school. Teaches us things in the woods. But Jesus loves to teach among the people of God. Now, there was a productive class. Jesus decided, he said, now, I'm going to do some teaching this morning because there's people here that need to realize and be taught from my teaching. I'm glad we've got a Bible that teaches right in this day, in this hour. We don't need a new Bible. We need to preach and teach out of the one that the Spirit of God has given unto us for these days. Now, there was a productive class. But secondly, notice in your Bible, there was a pitiful case.
There was a pitiful case. In verse 11, this woman appears in this text. Jesus could have wrote about anything. And He could just as easily as put a man in this text. But He chose a woman. And look about this woman. He said, I want to teach y'all something. So we see a productive class, but now a pitiful case. And behold, underline that. It's bold. It shows emphasis upon this woman. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. I want to say something first positive about this woman. When you've seen her get out of a car, everybody recognized her. She was stooped down. She was walking very low. And when you looked at this woman, you would say, well, my, she could have a reason not to come to church. You know, if she had chose, she could have made many excuses of why she was not together on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. It reminds me that people can find all the excuses in the world. I mean, they can find an excuse about the preacher. They can find an excuse about the facility. They can find an excuse about the weather. I mean, but this woman did not find an excuse. She simply bowed her face and she come to the synagogue to worship the Lord on the Sabbath day. So I commend her in spite of her difficulties, in spite of what she was going through in life. She came to the synagogue. She no doubt thought, you know, if I can just get to the synagogue, maybe there's somebody there that could help me. I've been doing this for 18 years. I've been struggling with it a long time. There's no reason to stay at home. I want it in my heart to come. And just maybe I can get some help at the temple of God. So I commend this woman. She realized, no doubt, she needed some help. And I want to say, first of all, you're never going to get better until you realize that you need help. The preacher's exactly right. So many men of God, we preach Sunday after Sunday and we don't want anybody to know that our family has problems. But honey, I come to tell you, you're at a place this morning where everybody's got problems and everybody's got trouble. Some of you, you've raised your children in the house of God. They're out in the far country. But I want to say something. There's hope in the tabernacle where God is at. We ought to let people know what we need in this day and this hour. Now you'll notice there was a productive class, but it was a pitiful case. She had a spine problem. The devil had inflicted this woman. And be careful before you judge her. Be careful, young men, to say, well, come on in here, devil, I'll give you a black eye. If you fool with the devil, honey, you'll find yourself in a ditch bank upside down, not even knowing where you are and out of your mind. Hey, but greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm glad the Spirit of God has power over the devil this morning. Now, you'll notice there was a productive class, this pitiful case. She had a spine problem. She had a span problem. Can you imagine for 18 years she got up every day in her life where the devil had tormented her in her life? She had a spine problem. I like what one of the writers said. When you look at this lady, she was drawn toward herself. You know, I think a lot of times when the devil messes with me and Miss Renee is one of the greatest to help me to get me out of this depression and dungeon. When the devil bends us low, I find we're always looking at ourselves. She couldn't look around at no place, but she was just always looking at herself. You know, the devil will give you a pity party if you'll join in with his band. He'll play you a song. And so this woman, she was bent low and she found herself simply only able to look at herself. She had a spine problem. And then secondly, the devil had bent her low. Not only do we see she was drawn toward herself, but the devil loves this, sir. He loves to draw us not only to self, but he loves to draw us to the earth. He loves for us to look at the world for our help. She's drawn looking at herself, and she's drawn looking at the earth. Can I tell you, there's nothing in this world that can help you like Jesus this morning. And boy, the devil, how many people he has got bowed over, bowed over, looking at the world. Jesus said, come out from among them and be you separate. The preacher said it right. They'll look on the tabernacle and say, look at that crazy preacher. Look at them crazy people. But honey, let me tell you, I feel something from another world this morning. I'm glad there's somebody that lives in us today. Oh, the devil loves to bend us over to look at self and to look at the earth, to look at the world. But then thirdly, you'll notice that, and listen real good, I'm about done preaching. It had been a long time, 18 years, get this, it had been a long time since she was able to look up. I feel so sorry for people like that. You know, people, they're so easy to judge. Daddy had a saying in Tennessee that'll go with me to my grave. It speaks volumes to me now as an older man. He said, boy, everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of him. And so you want to criticize and you want to try to judge people because they are bent low. I wonder when people seen her come in the tabernacle, was anybody willing to try to reach out their hand to help her up? You see, it had been a long time since she looked up. You know, I've had some surgeries, Brother Mike. I can't just look straight up, but I tell you what I can do. I can lay on my back and look up. I wonder how long it's been since you've looked up. 18 years. She's just looking down. She's down on herself. She's down in spirit. She's down in life. And she gets out of the car and she's walking bowed over. I want to say that the light of her life was very dim. The light of her life was very dim. And that's where the devil wants us all to get this morning. To where the light of life is very dim. He wants to remove all hopeless. Or all hope from us to make us hopeless. I like what one writer said, Brother Mike.
She walked about as though she was searching for a grave.
You ever seen people that were saved? They used to get out of the car like this. Now they get like this. It is as though they're searching for a grave. Let me tell you, if you're saved this morning, the greatest thing that's ever happened to you is that God put your name down yonder in glory land world, and you're going to get to go to heaven and spend all eternity where there's no more tears, no more heartaches, no more pain. Thank God, honey, I'm not looking for the grave. I'm looking toward the Savior this morning. She's looking for a grave. I heard a preacher preach this week, Brother Mike. Man, Brother Jamie, older in life, used to have the glow of God upon his brow. But now he gets out because of life. It has bent him low and he's simply just looking for a grave.
This morning, Jesus decided to take this lady and do a hands-on class of who He is. I'm preaching simply this morning on undoing what the devil has done. There was a productive class, a pitiful case. She seemed to grow downwards. The weight of the years and of the circumstances pressed down on her. I like what one of the writers said last night. I was in the cabin pinning this down. Brother Mike, this is what one writer said. She could not face her present. She could only think of her past. She could not face anything anymore because she continually looked down. This morning we find this pitiful case. But I don't want to leave you there. Thirdly, there's a passionate Christ. Aren't you glad that Jesus can do something about our affliction? Look what He says. And when Jesus saw her, I don't know how many was there. I can tell you this. She's probably shorter than anybody in the crowd. When they'd stand, nobody could see her. But Jesus saw her. Jesus saw her. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves individuals? Not when Jesus saw them, but He saw her. Look what He does. He called her to Him. Can I tell you, Jesus is still calling. Called her to Him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Now this is where I want to get to this morning. Not only the productive class, Jesus was teaching in front of the people. He said, "I don't want to hide this from you today. I want you to see it firsthand." Not only the pitiful case, the passionate Christ, but look at verse 14. I was interested in this. Look at this public complaint. Somebody had something to say about what Jesus was doing. And they were so unwise to speak it out publicly. Public complaint. Look what he said. When Jesus was teaching, Jesus was working, Jesus was calling, the Bible said, and the ruler of the synagogue, I met a few of them,
shaky little Baptist head up and down this morning. I met a few of them. The ruler. Daddy Rabbit. They run stuff. You don't take on no missionaries without contacting them. You get quiet. Go and get quiet. You don't do nothing without contacting them because they the ruler. Well, where's Jesus in it all? Where's Jesus in it all? Well, preacher, y'all won't let me run nothing. You're exactly right. Amen. Shake your Baptist head up and down. You ain't running this place. God's going to run it. Public complaint. Isn't this crazy how somebody would say something that crazy? The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Jesus made him mad because of Jesus healed on the Sabbath. It wasn't on the program. Nobody contacted this old boy to see if it was all right to do something for God. Lord, y'all don't like this. I wonder if I went out in the highway and preached, would they blow their horn or something? Public complaint. He called the Lord out. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? There are 6 days which men ought to work, them therefore come be healed, not on the Sabbath day. I'm the boss here. I love what Jesus did. I wish I was standing there. You know what Jesus did? He didn't wait till after service, shake your little Baptist head up and down. He didn't send him a note. He didn't send him an email or a text. Let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, thou hypocrite! You a hypocrite! I bet folks said, it's about time somebody told him something. It's about time somebody said something to them. Think they run this place? Think you got to check in with them before you dig a piece of dirt out of the ground? About time somebody spoke up and tell them what Jesus said. Jesus said, you hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. And I want to show you what Jesus said. I'd never seen this. He said, let me ask you something, buddy. What kind of man would you be to have an ox or an ass tied in the crib and you wouldn't unloose him and lead him to water? What kind of person would you be? Boy, Jesus brought the teaching right down to where he lived. You know, some of y'all, you got a dog leaving the pen all day. How inhumane it would be to leave that animal in that cage all day and not feed him and water him. Shake a little Baptist head up and down. How bad would it be if you had an ox or a mule in a stall and you would leave them in there on the Sabbath day and not water them and feed them? Can I tell you this morning, is it not right, those that the devil has bound, that we as a church come together and unloose them for the cause of Christ and ask God to help us in ways that we've never seen before? Wouldn't it be right? Wouldn't it be right to undo what Satan has bound? I want to say, there was no use in blaming her. You can blame all you want to. But it wasn't no use in blaming this woman because we've all done things to be blamed for. Now, I don't know if she got around the wrong group.
I don't know if she got around the wrong kids. I don't know if she did the wrong thing. I don't know how that the devil got in her life, but I do know this. The devil touched this woman with an infliction of infirmity. And it should be the heart of every member at Liberty Baptist Church. Everything the devil's tied up, we ought to try our best to get it loose. The devil will try his best to bind you in friendships, in relationships, and fellowships. He will say something to you and you will take it and it will bind you to the bone. You no longer get out and glad you're coming to church. You're looking down at you. You're looking down at the earth. You're looking down at animosity to everybody else. May God help us to untie this morning what the devil has tied up. He loves to tie families up. Marriages up, churches up. And I want you to notice this. It all comes from the devil. Some of you are bent so low. I'm not going to accuse you. I want to help you get loose. We see somebody pull up and get out of the car and they're walking low. And some of you Pharisees and hypocrites will say, boy, here they come. They getting just exactly what they deserve. Let me ask y'all something this morning as a country preacher. I wonder what all of us really deserve. Jesus said, ye that are without sin, cast the first stone. Now, I realize there's things in our life that we must do. But we must realize this lady had been struck by the devil. You may be here this morning. Satan has got you tied. He's got you bent over low and bound. But there's good news for all of us this morning. There's a public complaint. There's a published cause. Church, in closing, if you knew the devil tied it up, wouldn't you want to unloose it? If we walked up here, and Brother Daniel, let's think about this yesterday morning. We got up here, and we seen a donkey tied to that tree and an ox tied to that tree. And we'd been here all day, darkness was falling, and we seen they were still tied. Wouldn't that be very inhumane to try to loose them and get them help? May God help us to bind together, to unloose what the devil's tied. Jesus does something. Brother Stacy, if you'd come, you sing what you want to sing. I told you, wall of prayer, I want you to sing what God wants you to sing. There was a public complaint. There was a published cause, but look in verse 12. Jesus does something. There was a present cure. Don't take Jesus out of the equation. The Bible simply said this in verse 12. And when he saw her, he called her to him. Can I tell you, Jesus is still calling. And he said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Look what she does. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Her praise was waiting in her spirit. Some of you have got praise in your spirit, but you can't loose it. But boy, when Jesus touched her and helped her, you know what she done? I'd love to sing two things that day, Brother Mike. I'd love to see it when Jesus stood up in the synagogue for what was right and put that person in their place. I'm just that kind. I would love to seen that. I would. I'd love to seen the looks on people's face. If you're not happy here, get happy or go find you another place to go to church. number two. I would love to see her glorify God. Could y'all imagine 18 years she had been bound with that kind of trouble? And Jesus touched her. Could you imagine how she praised God? Our friend's going to play. This is what I wish we'd do this morning. I wonder, would you respond to the preaching? Maybe the devil has bound you. You know how many times in 29 years the devil's tried to tie and make me look at me and look at this old earth, and somebody would just come up to me and say, "Preacher, keep on preaching." You may never realize what a kind word you could say to help somebody that's bent so low. Don't hit them on the back of the head. Lift them up.